You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Welcome to the first Neighborhood Archive podcast. This is Tim. Thanks a lot for downloading this and taking some time to listen to a little bit of it, or maybe even listen to the whole thing. This is an idea that I had a while back when the blog really started to pick up some steam and people started to chime in a lot with some thoughts and some insight. I thought about taking it maybe in the direction of a podcast because there's just so much out there to discuss when it comes to the overall, just the career of Fred Rogers, whether that's the books or the music or the show. And I know there's a lot of people with opinions out there that they'd love to share. So I thought I'd get this idea rolling, see how it goes, and we'll take it a step at a time and see how successful it becomes. I'm happy to have Eric with me tonight. Eric has been around with many comments and a lot of in-depth insight to the neighborhood program from the get-go, from the start of the blog way back in the day a couple of years ago. So Eric, we're glad to have you with us tonight.
Hi, thanks, Tim. I'm excited to be here.
Oh yeah, we've got what Eric and I wanted to cover tonight was to basically talk about why we're adults who still enjoy Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. As strange of a statement as that might sound to some people out there, probably the people listening to this podcast understand that statement 100%. So I guess it's not so strange. But we wanted to touch on a little bit about why, what it is about the Neighborhood program, about Fred Rogers and his work throughout his career that we appreciate, that we enjoy, that we admire. And also touch a little bit upon just basically the current state of the Neighborhood program with the Amazon downloads and things along those lines. So, Eric, I guess we'll just jump right in. And I guess if you just want to share a little bit about kind of your story, your background, why is it that you stumbled upon this blog back in the day and we've gotten to the point that we're at right now?
Well, let's see. I started searching. You know, I'm a sort of person that looks up anything I can think of on Wikipedia and sites like that. So, you know, whether it's a movie I just watched or whether it's, geez, every toy I had when I was a kid, I'll go look up, you know, and it's, I think it's really interesting to read about it, their history and things like that. And Mr. Rogers was a show I watched a lot as a kid. I wasn't obsessive about it the way I am now, but it was just, you know, it was on. There was no reason to obsess about it because it was kind of just always on and you took it for granted. But as I don't think it had quite started disappearing from television yet, but I think in my mind I realized that maybe someday it would. And I guess Fred Rogers had passed away, so that obviously meant there were going to be no new programs. So I just started searching online for information, and there really hasn't been a whole lot written about, you know, the history of the show or anything. There were some sites like I think TV.com that really documented like each episode. It was a little more, you know, it was. Kind of a dull analysis as opposed to your blog, but it was really interesting anyway. But otherwise, I had so many questions about origins of characters and I was actually looking for things to kind of jog my memory because I had vague memories of things, and I'm trying to figure out how. I was born in 1978, so I don't know the earliest episodes I saw. I know they were running stuff that certainly must have been pretty old when I was watching it, but I don't know if they were necessarily running the black and white episodes or anything like that. But all I knew was there was a lot that I remember seeing that I couldn't see anymore on television. So a lot of my online research was, you know, well, what was the name of that particular character, or trying to find out, you know, things to jog my memory of certain episodes. And Anyway, so what was the question? Was how I was it how I found your blog?
Well, not even how you found it, but just like just the background a little bit to where, you know, obviously you were searching for something related to Mr. Rogers when you stumbled across the blog. But what is it? What is it that led up to the point of you? You know, why were you searching for Mr. Rogers in the first place? I suppose would be the question.
Oh, okay. Well, like I said, and I did watch it as a kid. I had little brothers and I had several cousins, and I don't remember any of them ever watching it. I'm sure they must have. Mm-hmm. So I don't quite know what it was that made me enjoy it, but I was certainly a little more introspective, I would say. Mm-hmm. And if any of my cousins or brothers hear this, they'll think I'm insulting them. But I just always was like the quiet kid, and you know, people describe me as shy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that may have had something to do with maybe I took to the tone of the show because of that. As an adult, somehow still enjoyed that about it. And I think having been on the air for so long and was pretty virtually unchanged in some regards, like that set is pretty much the set that was there from the beginning, you know, with minor details. But I'd say after, what, 1982, they didn't change a color or anything on the set. So that was very familiar. I am big into nostalgia and things mm-hmm. like that. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm nostalgic for time periods I didn't even live in, you know, the 50s and the 40s and stuff like that. I just think that sort of thing's neat. So the fact that the show kind of was always on, and no matter, you know, my family moved around a lot when I was little, no matter mm-hmm. where I lived, that show was always on.
You always had Mr. Rogers, right?
Yeah, and I don't know, that seems to, even now when I see it, it's kind of a warm feeling just associated with it. Mm-hmm. Now, I've tried to justify it, too, in that, because, you know, you try to just, the people you dare tell that you like this show still, you kind of try to justify it to them in certain ways, and I'm not into education at all, I mean, professionally. But I certainly can respect the child development aspect right. of the show. And you have it a little better, I think, because you're a little more in that field. Mm-hmm. And people have always said, oh, you're great with kids. I always had little brothers and little cousins, and I was always so good with the kids. So I kind of say, well, you know, I've always been interested in children and child development. So I don't think that's really it, although yeah. I can certainly yeah. appreciate it.
No,
how groundbreaking the show was.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with you 100% because I mean the reason I started this blog back in what 2 or 3 years ago, I guess, was for that reason. It was nostalgia. It wasn't about necessarily the content. Now, granted, I appreciated the content at the time as an adult, but it was more about nostalgia. It was more about me looking exactly like what you were doing, where you were looking for, you know, details about things from your childhood, or you were looking for details about, you know, whether it was a toy or a show or whatever. I was kind of doing the same thing, and when I looked for information about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, I found very little. I was shocked. I was shocked by this void that was out there. And you know, as I started looking through this stuff, as I started this blog, and as I started going through episode by episode, That's where it's kind of like you say, you've justified it to people you know by saying, you know, there's educational value, you know, that you appreciate now. But quite honestly, the more I've gotten into it over the last couple of years, it's twofold for me now. It's nostalgic, but at the same time, as an educator and as a parent, I have such a huge admiration and respect for what was covered on this program.
Yes.
For the simple reason that there was nothing else like it, before, and there was nothing else like it at the time, I don't think. And currently, now that it's off of the air for the most part, I still don't think there's anything like that. You know, that we have a lot of shows out there that are all about, you know, academia and, you know, learning your ABCs and learning to count and things like that, which by all means is fantastic. But, you know, there's something lacking when you take away the emotional side of life, and it's okay to feel certain ways, it's okay to be sad, and okay to be angry, and things like that. That is lacking in my eyes from so many of the shows that are out there. So, I mean, when I first started looking for things about Mr. Rogers, online and found that void, yeah, it started as nostalgia, but it has turned into, like I said, a twofold kind of appreciation for nostalgic reasons and for educational reasons.
Yeah, and I want to say I kind of always knew in the back of my mind, probably even as a kid, that the show was so groundbreaking, mm-hmm. and wow, this guy is talking to the audience mm-hmm. in a way that no other kid show talks to people, mm-hmm. maybe no other show. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really very sincere and personal, and there wasn't even the thought of selling, you know, toys of the characters or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, there are great cartoons out there, but in the 80s, every single one of them was geared towards, and still today, you know, geared towards selling merchandise.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter how high quality the program was. Mm-hmm. But, and maybe as a kid, I even knew that because in my adult life, it was really just about trying to revisit that nostalgia and rediscover, get more information than I ever got as a kid, you know?
Right, right. Now, did you have any of the, you know, the record albums or anything like that as a kid?
I didn't have a thing. I'm trying to, I may have seen the, you know, the books that Mr. Rogers talks about, you know, when a pet dies or something
right.
like that. I may have seen those at a library or something,
uh-huh.
but I had an awful lot of record albums as a kid, and I don't remember having any that were Mr. Rogers or seeing, you know, any of the toys that you've had on your blog or anything.
And quite honestly, I didn't have the toys. We didn't have any of the toys as kids. That was myself and an older brother. You know, I just remember having, we had two books. We had the Golden Book that was the Henrietta Meets Someone New, that was actually pretty much the same story as the make-believe storyline that we've covered recently with Colette. And then we also had that golden shaped book that was shaped like the trolley from back in the mid 70s. And we had the, as far as record albums, I remember having one album. In fact, I still have the original copy that I had as a kid of the A Place of Our Own. It's the one, the Mr. Pickwick version with the yellow cover. But other than that, we didn't have the record albums. We didn't have the tapes. All we had, you know, was the show. And I just, you know, again, to go back to nostalgia, I just have so many like nostalgic memories. I remember watching the show and. You know, in the evenings or whatever, drawing pictures. My brother and I were big into drawing and drawing pictures of Mr. Rogers, you know, living room there, and you know, of course,
really?
Yeah. I mean, of course, as we got older, and I would love to have some of these drawings, but I think they're long gone. You know, as we got older, of course, they turned into things from, you know, Mr. Rogers and his trolley to pictures of like the closet door open with guns and grenades and stuff like that inside. As we got more into G.I. Joe, but.
That's funny that you mentioned like the living room and stuff, because that's something I've only discovered recently. Uh-huh. You know, as a teenager, I was you know, into drawing a lot too, and I don't think I ever thought to draw anything from the show. But mm-hmm. if I had, I'm sure it would have been the trolley, or it would have been one of the characters in the neighborhood of Make Believe or something.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, that set that was unchanged for years and years and years.
Right.
In itself is so iconic, you
uh-huh.
know, the curtains that they had and the blue cabinets in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if any normal person would even notice that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put up the blocks on your blog there, the little incidental spot illustrations that were like in the corner of the page,
right.
I didn't even notice, but once someone pointed it out to me, those are well researched, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I thought the same thing, to where when I was looking at the pages themselves, like I noticed the pictures that had been drawn in the corners, but until someone asked on the blog about it, you know, and I actually paid attention to what was there, I was amazed at the detail that was put into those, because, you know, what
yeah,
it was,
and
the,
that's
the bench
very
he sets
unusual.
On
I mean,
and oh gosh,
because
great.
They could have paid an illustrator to say, hey, you know what, could you just draw like a kitchen and some buildings, and the
right.
guy may have, you know, just whip something up out of his imagination,
uh-huh.
and nobody would have cared.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe it was done by somebody who worked for the show. And,
yeah, that's
and
that. I was kind of disappointed that there wasn't a credit in there anywhere for the illustrator, because I was curious who had done those drawings. But there was nothing. I looked at that book front to back, and there was nothing in there that showed who the illustrator was of any of those pictures. So
yeah,
I was kind of surprised by that. I don't know. What are some other things that you might that you might recall from your childhood days? You know, those are the things that I always think of when I look at these old episodes, especially the ones from the early 80s and even these especially the classic episodes more than anything, because, you know, obviously the show is geared towards the younger audience, and so that would have been late 70s, early 80s for me. What are some things that you recall from being a kid and watching Mr. Rogers?
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't, whether I was not smart enough or I wasn't seeing it frequently enough, I did not realize until probably high school that there was a progression from Monday to Friday in the storyline.
Oh, really?
Because I think I was just catching random episodes. You know, either I'd be homesick from school one day, and, you know, just caught one episode that week, or I would be, maybe if I was home during the summer and watching more than one, I probably just didn't see all five. And so, for one reason or another, that I never picked up on that. So, on the days that I was seeing it, however old I was, I remember it was always, man, I hope they do an opera today. You know, and
now see, I was the opposite on that. I remember the episodes whenever I saw Reardon show up on the neighborhood, I thought, oh, for crying out loud, it's one of those singing episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell you what I liked more, you know, about him. I mean, I must just have liked that sort of material.
Yeah.
It was an occasion.
Right.
If you watched the show every day, they didn't happen every day, so it was a big deal. I want to say, well, the earliest one I really remember seeing was the Cows and Potato Bugs opera. I probably saw several others. I think I saw the Snow People opera.
Uh-huh.
I remember very vaguely the Margaret Hamilton storyline and when she came, the Wicked Witch from Wizard of Oz, and I was obsessed with that movie when I was little. I had, you know, a relative had taped it for me from television, and probably wore out that VHS tape with all the with all the commercials and everything. So I remember thinking that was cool. I remember really liking, maybe even more than the operas, the Bob Baker, is it Bob Baker? Bob Brown Marionette Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Which was just down the little fake street there.
Right.
And that was something that when I was little, it seemed like it was on very frequently, but it may have only been, you know, maybe three or four episodes, and maybe I just kept catching them over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I think, like the operas, they probably, you know, went there at the beginning of the week and said, okay, at the end of the week, we're going to have a, you know, marionette show, and maybe they revisited to see the progress and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it probably was not an actual marionette show very often.
Yeah. See, I don't remember much about that at all. It's, you know, I'm sure I saw some of those episodes, but, you know, the Marionette Theater, I don't remember that. And that's why I think when I came across the episodes with Mr. Allmine, that's why I think I, for a short while there, I was so obsessed with Mr. Allmine, because I did not remember him, and I'm sure I saw him as a kid.
Me neither. Now, have you found episodes with him other than?
Yeah, I've got copies of a handful, maybe three or four right now that have him in there. You know, I've covered one or two of them, I think, but maybe just one now that I think about it. But I've got a few others that hopefully I'm going to get up sometime soon. But yeah, I he's somebody that I don't remember at all from being a kid. But I'm sure I saw him. You know, those would have been the episodes that would have been on when I was watching in the early 80s and in the late 70s. And so, you know, that's why I was so, for lack of a better term, just obsessed with Mr. Allmine there for a short while. I don't know.
Well, that's good that you found some, because, yeah, I wondered about that, too. I have no memory of it.
Yeah, no, and I think it's pretty limited. I think he was only on, you know, maybe a dozen episodes or so, but, again, that's something that will come across in time. But, yeah, I mean, looking back to when I was a kid, you know, I think of things like, my brother and I used to record everything on cassette tapes, so we have all these cassette tapes from when we were kids of us just basically being obnoxious. We would just start it recording and just record just nonsense. And I remember plain as day recording over and over, running around a room saying, it's a Rat-a-ma-cue, it's a Rat-a-ma-cue, over and over and over. And then I came across that episode a while back, and that's from, you know, those, I think it's from the school episodes in 79 or late 70s there. And as soon as I saw that episode, I thought, holy cow, that's where that came from. And so, that, you know, I'm happy to say that tape still exists, but I just
we'll have to do an episode where we put that on.
Oh gosh. I'm sure I can dig it out. I've converted all those old tapes to CD in the meantime, so I'm sure I've got it around here. So, but my brother, one thing that I'm on the lookout for, and I've not done a lot of research to try to find this specific episode, cause I'm hoping to just stumble across it one of these days. But if you notice, and this is just such a minor detail, but if you notice in a lot of the old episodes, like the really older ones, when X the Owl opens his door, the I guess the design or the layout of the woodwork on the inside of the door, there's a piece of wood across the top and a parallel piece across the bottom, and just one diagonal piece connecting the two, if that makes sense.
And in the early episodes,
you're saying? Yeah. And my brother continually swears that there's an episode, and obviously there has to be, because, you know, there's got to be a transition period somewhere where he remembers Handyman Negri coming in and adding in a second diagonal piece going the other way to make an X for X's door.
Yeah, no, I do remember that.
Okay,
actually.
Okay.
I didn't realize that any of, maybe, well, they're probably in some of the Amazon episodes, I didn't realize that any of the doors had the Z on them, because I remember him putting on, he has to put on two pieces, obviously, to, you know, one on either side of that diagonal piece.
Well, it's good to know my brother's not crazy then, because I've yet to come across that episode, and, you know, obviously I'm hoping to in time, so.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because people, you can tell people something from that happened on Mr. Rogers. And nine times out of ten, it does sound crazy.
Yeah,
some of the storylines were.
Oh, absolutely. And even now, looking back at them, some of them I'm thinking like what in the world was going through the mind of Fred Rogers whenever he came up with this idea or this idea. And as fun as they are to watch, who in a thousand years would come up with some of those things? Quite honestly, I'm not saying they're crazy. I'm just saying they're so obscure and so off the wall sometimes that. What was crossing his mind that led him to that storyline or to that idea?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I have a 7-year-old, and that's how she – that is how she plays. You know, she I hope that's what he was doing. I just chalk it up to he really knew how kids played and kind of just free associate things as they're playing.
Right.
And, you know, she'll be obsessed with puppies 1 week. So everything you play is puppies, you know, and not so much now that she's 7, but when she was older or when she was younger. But, it's things like in Make Believe where they'll, you know, let's have Make Believe about spoon, like the opera, you know, about spoons and mountains and so and so.
Right.
And
it
sounds like obviously it is a bizarre combination, but that is kind of what kids do. It's, you know, or X's thing about Benjamin Franklin.
Right. Or oranges,
How they work it into the opera because, well, look, X is really into Benjamin Franklin right now. He doesn't want to be anybody else. Let's let him be Benjamin Franklin in the opera. It doesn't make sense, but who cares, you know?
Right.
And I'll find myself almost, if my daughter and I are playing something, you know, she'll have an idea. It's just so bizarre and doesn't make any sense. But I now know I don't really stop her from interjecting it. You know, you try not to be too controlling when you're playing with your kid, you know, and let them put their own ideas in. But I always just figured that must be what he was doing. It was obviously sometimes it really played well into whatever the ultimate lesson of the week was. And other times it didn't. It just kind of faded away and who cared? And I would say that the more recent episodes past, you know, 79 or so, were probably had a lot less of that, even though he still had, you know, the same sense of humor and the same sense of whimsy. Mm-hmm. So there were odd things or creative things happening. It was a little more focused, it seemed like, and there was a definite goal each week.
Well, let's shift gears here a bit and let's talk about the current state of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood when it comes to, you know, the availability on Amazon and on iTunes and PBS Kids website. You know, obviously Amazon is the main source right now. What are some episodes that are missing right now? I know that's such a huge question, But what are some episodes that are out there, considering there's several hundred, you know, that aren't available on Amazon, that you would like to see made available sometime in the future?
It'd be great if they did all the operas, even if it was just the Friday episode that had the opera, you know. Although then I know I would complain and say, well, I want the build-up, you know, the Monday through Thursday. Because honestly, I'll buy every single one of them. But the Margaret Hamilton storyline, which, again, sounds like it was much more... it was another, you know, 2 or 3 week build-up, it sounds like. But I just kind of remember her visiting. I vaguely remember when he was first getting the models of the neighborhood of make-believe.
Yeah.
And I think someone on your blog mentioned that was pretty much all done in 1 week. And I always thought it was spread out longer than that. But
yeah, a majority of those came from a series of 5 episodes.
Yeah, so that makes sense. I don't see Mr. Rogers teasing kids for that long. You know, okay, in 12 months, you know, we'll have the whole neighborhood.
Right, right.
Oh man, I was obsessed with those models when I was little.
I think that comes with being a child, because I think, you know, I was too, and I think every kid, you'd be surprised. I get a lot of contact through the websites and from people with different memories or different ideas or different questions. And that is one of the most common things people mention are those models that sit on those shelves.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me that, you know, number one, that I wasn't the only kid that was obsessed with those things. And number two, just how many people grew up looking at those models as just one of the coolest things, that if those were, you know, commercially available, those would have been in, you know, on my shelf in a heartbeat. Obviously, my parents would have had to have been the ones to agree to that. But yeah, there's so many people that mentioned those models to me as oh, I remember those and I wanted those so bad.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, you know, I can't remember which episode it is, but Fred is talking about the trolley, and he says something like, you know, a lot of children ask me where they can get a trolley like mine, and my answer is always, well, go make your own. And I just can't stand that answer.
Yeah, and I think in that episode, doesn't he go to the kitchen and he makes one out of a Kleenex box or a cheese box or something like that, to where, I think it's a cheese box, if I'm not mistaken, that he takes a marker and draws a window on it. Yeah, I agree, because it's if you're a kid at home, you're thinking, no, I want one that goes on a track.
Yeah, I know. Well, and you totally understand, especially as a parent, you totally understand why he's telling you that.
Absolutely.
And this, for the same reason, you know, there were so many episodes where he would use substitute models, where he'd say, you know, we're not going to use the real models today. We're going to use this, you know, this head of lettuce is the tree, and this, you know, film canister is the trolley. And I hated those episodes. I was like, Mr. Rogers, what are you doing? That's, you know, oh. But, you know, there were very conscious reasons he was doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he was probably getting a huge influx of requests, you know, and maybe just thought, hey, let's show kids, you know, the perfect opportunity to be creative really passionate about something.
Yeah,
like
it's encouraging kids to use their imagination, you know, to where not every kid is going to have, even if those were made commercially available, not every kid that watches Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is going to have the money or the resources to get that set, and
certainly,
you know, let alone the whole set. So, you know, why not use a head of lettuce for it, you know, for a certain part of the neighborhood or a film canister? So, I mean, are there any other episodes you can think of that you'd like to see out there?
I'm really glad they did the first week, even though I didn't have any memory of it. Those were great.
I'm in the same boat. I don't remember seeing that as a kid at all, but for historical, you know, reasons, that's, by all means, that's a must. That's just absolutely, to me, almost, I don't know, I hate to use the word amazing, but to me it's just amazing to watch those first few episodes and see where this program came from, you know, to see where it started. And, you know, along those lines, to go back even further, one of the things I would love to see, and I don't see these ever being made available on Amazon at this point, but I would love to see some of those 15-minute episodes from back when the program was in Canada. Because technically that's where the program came from. Or to go even further, the Children's Corner. You know, that's technically where this program started. And those are the ones that, those are the big thing. I would love to see those.
I'd be curious to know what happened when the Frog family left and Lady Elaine came in.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Lady Elaine was there otherwise, because I know she was referenced in that one Children's Corner album, which makes me think she was in the neighborhood from the beginning.
Right, right.
But supposedly the Frog family was in charge of the museum go-round. Which...
Yeah, I think she was there. And again, this is just based on what little I've covered. You know, of course, I'm hoping to find out more over time. But if I understand correctly, she was part of the show and part of the neighborhood of make-believe, and then just wasn't in charge of the museum go-round.
Which is funny, because that's such a... The two are, you know, synonymous nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
She was such a weird character, and the whole concept of the museum go-round was just a, you know, where did he come up with that idea?
Right.
But that would be interesting. I vaguely remember the Frog family, and I don't know if they were in charge of the museum go-round when I was watching, or if maybe they came back. Mm-hmm. Like to see Queen Sarah coming in and that storyline of them getting married, because I do remember watching that as a kid. Yeah,
that's probably the most common thing I hear from the contact through the websites is the royal wedding. I get tons and tons of emails asking about that. So.
And Prince Tuesday being born. Oh, yeah. You know, there's so many songs that I remember. The Chef Brockett song also.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that I owe to you is, you know, I don't remember that song much at all from being a kid. And that was one of the first things, one of the first correspondences that you and I had was... Yeah, you had asked about that song, and you kind of drew my attention to it.
I don't remember as a kid necessarily, but as I got older and got more analytical about the show, I guess, I couldn't figure it out. It was just like, why does he want people to be quiet? I don't understand.
Well, and one of the episodes that I just recently looked at, one of those classic ones, I think from last week that we looked at, if you look on the background, and I don't remember this at all, is the word quiet in giant letters on the wall in his bakery.
He seemed like such a nice man on their face.
and you know, that may have just been another quirky little characteristic that just got thrown in there. Like, okay, we're going to make this chef who is a chef who likes things to be silent while he cooks. You know, you never know where that stuff comes from.
Yeah, well, and then I think in the first week of episodes, there is that one visit with him, and he almost does like a pantomime thing the whole time. And maybe that was the point. Maybe it was, you know, he can do pantomime well, and that's funny, so let's give him a reason to do pantomime,
oh,
you know?
Oh, gosh, I would love to know the background of that.
Yeah, and then I think I've had somebody suggest, well, you know, sometimes parents have rules that just don't make sense to kids, and maybe he was just trying to teach kids to follow a rule, even if it didn't make sense to them, you know? And I don't know, maybe that was true, but... I don't see that as being as likely, but yeah.
I'm not sure if too many parents that would post their rule on the wall in giant letters.
Seriously. I don't ever remember except that one episode that you mentioned, seeing that on the wall.
Yeah, I don't either.
But then not only was the song kind of phased out, it seemed like that characteristic of his personality kind of disappeared too.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely.
So they probably got tired of having to write around that character trait. You know?
He probably
wanted to have conversations with Chef Brockett and thought, you know what, this is just getting in the way.
Well, we'll go ahead and cut things off right there. First of all, I want to say a big thanks to Eric for taking some time to share some thoughts with us tonight. I want to thank any of you out there listening to this, as you may have downloaded it and listened to just a little bit of it, or especially if you downloaded and listened to the entire thing. That's even better. We'll see where this idea goes. I'm not sure if this is going to be the first and only podcast that we record, or it could be the first of many. We'll see. I just know there's a lot that we could cover, but time permitting, we'll see what kind of time we've got and what kind of response we get to this first podcast. In the meantime, I hope you'll continue to enjoy the blogs and the website as we continue to recognize and to document the life and the career of Fred Rogers.